The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
All those moments will be lost in time. Like tears in rain.
Coming to you. The Frustrated Incorporated compound overlooking the beautiful Arizona Bay. This is Inconclusive Breakdown. I'm your host, Justin, joined as always by Skeets the Wonder Dog. And
hello.
What's going on, sir?
Not much. Just enjoying the nice day. It looks beautiful up here.
Well, we're recording early, so I almost forgot the name of the show. I thought since it's Saturday that this would be a Black Power Hour. But
it's
we're doing it a day early, obviously, because Mother's Day is tomorrow, and we're taking the day off. So, yeah. So
it's still 40 degrees here, though. So you know,
it's
May and it's 40.
It's
so.
Supposed to get in the 60, low 60s here. So
that global warming.
Oh yeah, we're all climate refugees. I think that's what it is.
Sorry.
No, you're not.
Yeah, you're right.
All right, coming up on this week's show, we'll talk about Marvel Cinematic Phase 4 was announced. Firing squads, the Arizona audit you're probably not hearing a lot about that is really important, mask mandates, cult leaders, birthing people, and much more. Top 10 list this week, because we forgot it was Mother's Day this weekend before we came up with it. Western movies. Hey.
Mothers and love that shit.
Mothers love Westerns. That's very true, especially if they have Sam Elliott. So there you go.
Ding, ding.
And we will answer your listener questions. I don't think none of mine have Sam Elliott, though.
None of mine do either. So.
All right. You want to get into this?
Not really.
All right. TV news this week. Netflix has announced that League of Legends Arcane, an animated series, will be debuting exclusively on Netflix in fall of this year. Originally was announced back in October of 2019 during Riot Games' 10th anniversary live stream. Little is known about it, but it looks like the main characters, you're going to have to help me on this, Vince, Jinx, V, and Victor. Fans can also look forward to the setting of Piltover and Zaun.
No Teemo, huh?
I have no idea.
No Sivir. Wow. Okay, whatever.
I draw a blank, so.
I know.
CW Network has renewed Stargirl for a third season. It was kind of on the bubble, but they went ahead and said, yeah, sure, why not? Speaking of CW, The Flash, two original cast members are leaving the show at the end of this season. Tom Cavanaugh, who plays Harrison Wells, Reverse Flash, bunch of other roles, and Carlos Valdez, who plays Cisco, will both be leaving the show.
Why?
But I don't know, but Flash has been renewed for next season, so we are getting a season 8, but it will not have those characters.
Hey, why would the... Dude, that guy's career is better now than it was ever in the 90s, okay?
He had his own show. Yeah, he did. I think Scrubs was his comeback, but you hate Scrubs, and we're not allowed to talk about it, so...
Yeah, fuck Scrubs.
Quiet you.
Sorry.
Screw JD, Turk's okay. All right.
Fuck Scrubs. God, I hate that fucking show.
Premium Network Epix has greenlit Billy the Kid, an hour-long series about the American outlaw, written by Michael Hurst, who created The Tudors and Vikings, based on the life of Billy the Kid, known as William H. Bonney, from his humble Irish roots to his early days as a cowboy and gunslinger and his role in the Lincoln County War. Looks like first season's going to be 8 episodes, so.
That's cool.
Yeah. That ties in with our Western theme this week, so.
That's nice.
Mm-hmm. We're getting another Law & Order.
Fuck.
But this is unlike any other Law & Order before. This has already been given straight to series order for Law & Order for the Defense. For the Defense will take a look inside a criminal defense team. The series will put the lawyers under the microscope along with the criminal justice system, with every week delivering the promise of a contemporary morality tale. So not only will the whites be the bad guys, but the whole system in general.
That's what we need more of.
Rape, 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 rape.
That's what we need more of, but we need more of that show. a morality tale. We need to be told by these assholes in Hollywood who are fucking little kids, allegedly.
Yes.
How to live our lives. Thank you. I'm going to watch it all the time.
NBC has announced they are moving forward. They have picked up the Night Court for at least a pilot. That's the Melissa Rock, John Larroquette sequel. I'm going to call it a sequel since she's playing Harry Stone's daughter. So, Disney Plus has unveiled this Halloween. We're getting Muppets Haunted Mansion. The Muppets' first ever Halloween special will feature the Muppet cast, celebrity cameos, new music. Muppets Haunted Mansion will take place on Halloween night when Gonzo is challenged to spend one night in the Haunted Mansion. So, if you got the kids, maybe that's geared towards the younger kids. It won't be too spooky. Who knows?
I think, you know what, I hate to be this way. I think the Muppets have outlived their usefulness. Nothing is fresh with them. Nothing is.
I think it's all like went it downhill to. Since obviously Disney took it and Henson's gone, obviously.
Right. Yeah, I think once Disney got to it, they just don't care.
No, it's a property they can exploit.
Yeah.
So, like Marvel. So, last thing for TV news, Noel Clark. Over in England, apparently this is a big deal, sexual harassment controversy that threatens to embroil the BBC after several sources came forward to allege they were sexually harassed or inappropriately touched by the actor on BBC's flagship show, Doctor Who. Another Doctor Who actor, John Barrowman, has also been accused of repeatedly exposing himself to co-workers on two different BBC productions, prompting questions about whether the corporation allowed a lax culture on its set during the mid-2000s. Developments came a week after ITV Sky and BBC announced they had cut ties with Noel Clark after The Guardian published testimony from 20 women who variously accused him of groping, sexual harassment, and bullying. Clark, who vehemently denies any allegations of misconduct, criminal wrongdoing, or sexually inappropriate behavior, including the latest accusations, was also stripped of a BAFTA award he was given just earlier last month. So,
just allegations, not even proof.
Right. I guess there's going to be an investigation.
Who's the other one? John?
John Barrowman.
The face of Bo.
Face of Bo.
Yes. He was in Torchwood.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
So.
Damn. Really?
Yep.
Dude, that guy's gay. Why would he? Who was?
Yeah, he? I know. I have no idea about it.
All allegations. Nothing.
No proven evidence as of yet. Yes.
Nothing.
All right, let's go to movie news this week. Thanks to Elizabeth for sending this one in just this morning. Vince, we have sad news.
Uh-oh.
Tawny Kitaen has passed away.
No shit!
Actress who starred in Bachelor Party. She was married to, was it David Coverdale?
Yeah.
Whitesnake. It's her on the car in the Whitesnake video. If you grew up in our time period, that's all you know. Plus a lot of Skinamax movies, I do believe.
She's only 59?
Yeah, died in Newport Beach Friday. Coroner is yet to determine cause of death. She was indeed 59. So, no points, but still sad.
I'm looking at pictures of her right now.
I'm sure you are.
She is rough.
She had a very up and down hard life, yes. Vince
married to David Cloverdale. I mean, that's...
Yeah.
What more do you want?
That's true. We have our actress for the Red Sonja movie.
Tawny Kitaen.
It is not Tawny Kitaen. And sadly, Julie Strain has also passed. No, so it ain't Julie Strain.
That would be perfect.
Hannah John Common, who starred as Ghost in Ant-Man and Wasp, was the will star in Millennium's long-gestating sword and sorcery movie. Hannah John Common. Her father is Nigerian. Her mother is Norwegian.
Oh, come on. She's going to be Red Sonja?
Yeah.
You fucking kidding me?
I hate this world. They're doing it like all the DC characters, all the redheads get cast as black.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Flash. Yeah.
That's fucking... God damn it. Really?
That's horseshit. Yeah.
God yep. damn it.
Ginger lives kind of matter. Yeah.
Yeah, they kind of matter. Yeah. Ooga booga, motherfucker. Where's my roll?
Did you know you can't buy Nikes with food stamps?
You can't?
No.
Shit. How's I supposed to get my Gibbs?
Well, Biden will Gibbs you. All right. Marvel Phase 4. Blade has been pushed back. It was supposed to start production this September. That has been pushed back to July of next year. This will not Wesley Snipes, sadly, but Mahershala Ali as Blade. Speaking of Marvel Phase 4, here is what we know, and this is what they announced. Black Widow will hit July 9th. Shang-Chi and Legend of Ten Rings, September 3rd. The Eternals, November 5th. Spider-Man No Way Home with Sony co-produce December 17th, so that's your Christmas movie. Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, March 25th of next year. My guess is that's the one they're going to introduce X-Men. They're going to do it through Doctor Strange. That's my guess. Thor Love and Thunder, May 6th, 2022. We are getting a Black Panther sequel. Obviously, without Chadwick Boseman, it will be called Black Panda Wakanda Forever. That's July 8th of next year.
It's going to be filmed in Minnesota. I'm sorry. Too soon?
Coming to you live from George Floyd Plaza. Yeah. Captain Marvel 2 has now been renamed The Marvels. Will not only feature Brie Larson, but will also Kamala Khan and Monica Rambeau from, she's grown up in WandaVision. So apparently they didn't think that, who plays Captain Marvel? That horrible
Brie Larson.
Yes. They didn't think she could carry her own movie again. So, yep. Ant-Man and Wasp Quantumania, February 17th of 23. Guardians of the Galaxy 3, May 5th, 23. And at the very end of their teaser thing they put up was a blue circle, and it had the number 4 in it, kids.
Fuck. Why?
That, there is no... It is apparently to be announced.
Oh, okay.
Vince and I have not been hired yet, even though we should be.
I don't give a fuck about the goddamn Fantastic Four. They have killed that fucking franchise.
That it's our job to bring it back. We can do it. Just let us cast exactly who we want and have the script exactly how we want. And
yeah.
Doom will be the good guy.
Yeah, like it should be.
Like it should be. All right. So that was it for movie news. Comic book news this week. There's only one story really this week, and it's kind of sad. John Paul Leon, best known for his artwork for Static and Earth X, passed away May 1st at the age of 49. Cause of death not given. Started his career at age 16 illustrating for the Dungeons & Dragons magazine. Then he moved to Dark Horse in 92 with RoboCop. Worked for DC on Static, Static Shock. Helped launch the Milestone Comics universe. Then he did stuff for Marvel and back to DC for Batman Creature of the Night. He was nominated for an Eisner Award along with Tom King for his work on the short story Black Death in America. So, sadly, he has passed. Your recommendations for comics that came out this week, I could only really see three. Immortal Hulk 46. If you got the kids, Batman Fortnite 0. Issue 2 of 6.
Oh, you know what? I never even picked up the first one.
Well, now issue 2 is out, so.
Fuck.
Swamp Thing, issue 3 of 10. So, there you go with that. Wrestling news this week. There's only a couple things here. WWE has filed 2 identical trademarks for Bash at the Beach with the Patent Office. They filed applications for the trademark. Both filings are for merchandise purposes, specifically clothing. All Elite produced multiple events under the Bash at the Beach moniker last year, including 2 Dynamite specials. It is believed the WWE struck a deal with Cody Rhodes in order to gain ownership of the Bash at the Beach trademarks in return for giving Cody back his wrestling name of Cody Rhodes. So, which WWE abandoned the Rhodes name last fall, which makes think that's when they did the deal. So,
huh.
Last thing for wrestling, Impact Wrestling has re-signed Jordan Grace to a multi-year deal. So, good for them.
That's nice.
Yep. That's kind of a slow news that way. Bench, you got anything for video games this week?
Yeah. Apparently Resident Evil came out last week, and it sets new series record with 100,000 concurrent players on Steam. Resident Evil Village is setting new records for the series on PC. According to Steam database, it's currently sitting at 101,376 concurrent players, which is a new high watermark for Resident Evil on Steam. So everybody and our dog is buying Steam. Speaking of Steam, everybody on Steam is playing Resident Evil.
There you go.
I was jumping the gun here.
Jumping the dog.
So, you know what? My sinuses are pounding, okay? It looks like summer outside, but it feels like winter, all right? The fucking yes. High pressure is... My head is... Yeah. It's bad, y'all. I'm high on antihistamines. Valve, speaking of Steam, is facing new lawsuit over its Steam digital dominance. I gotta read this out. This is by an article by a guy named Liam Wiseman. It'll be important here in a second. A game developer and two other people are challenging Valve in a lawsuit over the company's dominance in PC digital game distribution. On a blog run by Wolffire Games, CEO David Rosen revealed that he's leading a class action antitrust lawsuit representing game developers against Valve Corporation. He asserted that the near dominance of Steam on PC games market increases the price of games due to Valve's service, taking a 30% commission from the sale of the game. He also stated that any attempts to diverge from the system would result in a game being removed from Steam. Sorry, it was just so funny that there's a lot of Bergs and Goldman and Steam and
Bergs. Echoes.
Yeah, Echoes, yeah. So yeah, you can't put it on Steam for some reason without them, you know, trying to make money off of a platform that you know you want to be on. So
right,
go somewhere else. I don't know. Make it DRM free. Put it on GOG.
There you go.
It's not hard. I mean, there's options. You just don't want to do it. That money is too good.
Yeah.
You know. Apparently, YouTube has come to PS5. They finally added the app. One thing you didn't talk about, and it's on this page for some reason, the Bad Batch came out.
Yes, Bad Batch came out May the 4th on the Disney Plus. So if you got that, check that out, I guess.
Yeah, check it out. Toe Jam and Earl, Still in the Groove, is coming to the Nintendo Switch, so that'll be the fourth game? The fourth Toe Jam and Earl? Does that sound right?
That sounds right.
Because they made one for the for Switch already, so they're making another one apparently. Toe Jam and fucking Earl, y'all.
Yeah.
Money, yeah, all right.
Woohoo! Yeah.
Sorry, I that makes me happy.
Flashbacks to childhood.
I know, it's right?
Delightful. Yeah.
Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance announced for the PS4, Xbox One, and Nintendo Switch. It is coming back. If you don't remember, Interplay and Wizards of the Coast have announced that the PS2 original Xbox era action RPG classic Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance is being re-released for the PS4, Xbox One, and Nintendo Switch on May 7th. That was yesterday. Mm-hmm. It will be available on digital storefronts only for $29.99. This is a re-release and not a remaster or remake. So outside of 4K support, the Xbox One X, PS4 Pro, and their backwards compatibility versions on Xbox Series X and PS5, there aren't a lot of new features. It looks just like the old fucking game. I'm looking at screenshots of it now.
Really?
Yeah. For $30, man, I might have to drop 30 bones on that. That was such a good game. My dad beat this game in like no time. He loved this game, and there was Dark Alliance 2 also. So, damn it, now I have to pick it up.
Shit.
Apparently, there's no online co-op with it though, so that might be a no-go for some folks.
Right.
All
right,
that's all I got.
All right, we'll go on to music news this week. And the only thing I could find is that the Red Hot Chili Peppers are selling their library, basically, and their publishing rights to London-listed music investment firm Hipgnosis. It looks like they're going to get $140 million in the deal. Hipgnosis has spent more than $1 billion in the past 3 years buying up the royalty rights to different musicians' catalogs. And last year, they bought half the royalties of Neil Young's catalog. Since the start of the year, they've also struck deals with Shakira, Lindsey Buckingham, so they have all the Fleetwood Mac stuff, and super producer Jimmy Iovine. So,
damn. Yeah. So they get what? Let's what, 4 divided by 100 million?
Well, how many people have been in the Chili Peppers? Because Dave Navarro was in for a little bit, so he's got to get his cut, you know. Yeah.
100 million, though? That's it?
Yeah. I was surprised that it was that low, to be honest with you.
So Flea is going to get, what, 10 million bucks, maybe? That's it?
I would say he'd probably get close to 20. Because he's been there the whole time, yeah. But he's a beekeeper now, so you can buy a lot of beekeeper shit with 20 mil.
Oh, that's what he does now?
I think so, yeah.
Him and fucking Jim Marshall went fucking crazy. He's a pumpkin farmer now.
Yeah. Well.
So weird.
It is weird. It is very weird.
So weird.
All right, let's go to true-false this week. Congrats to Handsome Dan for picking last week's fake story. You win nothing.
What was
it? The fake story was the stained glass Fauci at the church in San Francisco. Which sounds very real.
No, it did really sound real. You gotta believe the science.
Yeah. All right, story number one. The World Economic Forum is promoting a smart mask that tracks your breathing and alerts you via an app on your phone if you wear it improperly or forget to wear it at all. The mask is made in China. The smart mask tells you when to wash it, whether you're wearing it properly, and alerts you via a sensor linked to a cell phone app if you've left it at home. Story number two. Two suspected Aussie thieves stole a nearly 7 foot tall, $160,000 outfit made of ostrich feathers from an Adelaide circus earlier this couple weeks ago. It was a Big Bird costume. They did actually return the costume. In their note that they left when they brought it back, they admitted they had no idea what they were doing, apologized for swiping the costume, noting they'd hit a rough patch in life and just were trying to cheer themselves up.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Sorry, you said ostrich and
I know.
Letter Kenny kicked in.
Yep. All right. Story number three. A coastal town in western Japan is under fire for using hundreds of thousands of dollars designated for COVID relief for slightly something less important. A giant statue of a Gundam from the hit anime series.
Fuck yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
Local officials said they hoped the statue would boost tourism in the area. So which is the fake story? World Economic Forum gives you a smart mask, or wants you to have a smart mask. Big Bird costume stole but returned because the guys had hit a rough patch. Or giant Gundam with COVID money in Japan. I will post the thread up after I post the show later tonight. Good luck. And with that, time for Song of the Week. And when we come back after playing the song, plugging our friends, will be time for our top 10 list, Western movies.
To the town of Alfrey rode a stranger one fine day. Hardly spoke to folks around him, didn't have too much to say. No one dared to ask his business, no one dared to make a slip. The stranger there among them had a big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip. It was early in the morning when he rode into the town.
He came riding from the south side, slowly looking all around. He's an outlaw, loose and running, came the whisper from each lip. And he's here to do some business with a big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip. In this town there lived an outlaw by the name of Texas Red. Many men had tried to take him, and that many men were dead. He was vicious and a killer, though a youth of 24. And the notches on his pistol numbered 1 in 19 more. 1 in 19 more. Now the stranger started talking, made it plain to folks around. Was an Arizona ranger, wouldn't be too long in town. He came here to take an outlaw back alive or maybe dead. And he said it didn't matter, he was after Texas Red. After Texas Red. Wasn't long before the story was relayed to Texas Red. But the outlaw didn't worry, men that tried before were dead. 20 men had tried to take him, 20 men had made a slip. 21 would be the ranger with the big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip. The morning passed so quickly, it was time for them to meet. It was 11:20 when they walked out in the street. Folks were watching from the windows, everybody held their breath. They knew this handsome ranger was about to meet his death. About to meet his death. There was 40 feet between them when they stopped to make their play. And the swiftness of the ranger is still talked about today. Texas Red had not cleared leather for a bullet fairly ripped. And the ranger's aim was deadly with the big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip. It was over in a moment and the folks had gathered round. There before them lay the body of the outlaw on the ground. Oh, he might have went on living, but he made one fatal slip when he tried to match the ranger with the big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip. Big iron, big iron. When he tried to match the ranger with the big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip.
Hi, this is Oopsie Panda, and I'm here to talk about the smartest man I know. Handsome Dan Lopez. He used to have a podcast all about professional wrestling, but he is literally so smart. After nearly 100 episodes, he ran out of things to say about it. But, being the
consummate
entertainer that he is, the podcast Handsome Dan's Final Say lives on. Through segments like Keeping It Classic, in which Dan reviews movies from the HBO and home video generation, My Musical Journey, which takes you on a trip through Dan's personal cassette to the albums that shape his musical taste. And The Masturbators, where Dan and longtime friend Jay Chewbacca will debate just about anything under the sun. Handsome Dan's Final Say has plenty to keep you listening for years to come. DansFinalSay.podbean.com or search Handsome Dan's Final Say on Spotify. Is that okay?
Tired of the PC police telling you what you can and cannot say? Want a show that travels back to the 80s and 90s, where the badass hosts have beaten down cancel culture on 3 separate occasions and carried on to gloat about it? Since 2013, The Midnight Jury is that show. Travel back to the malls and arcades, pop in your VHS, and join us where the 80s and 90s return from the dead. Conan, tell them where to find us.
WLWstudios.com, home of the Midnight Jury podcast hosted by Midnight Mike and Calvin Brody.
Also available on all major podcast platforms via the Shining Wizards Network, and join in the conversation on Twitter at Midnight Jury.
Because of the obvious threat to untold numbers of citizens, and because of the crisis which is even now developing, this radio station will remain on the air day and night. This station and hundreds of other radio and TV stations throughout this part of the country are pooling their resources through an emergency network hookup to keep you informed of all developments.
Horns up, everyone. When on the Shining Wizards Network, be sure every Friday to check out Radioactive Metal. Radioactive Metal is one of the longest-running podcasts on the interweb, and every week we bring you a fist full of metal, including interviews with all your favorite artists, discuss all the metal news, and feature the best tunes on the air today. So grab a Lemmy, join your cool Uncle Snowy, and co-host Aaron in the pit.
This is awesome! This is awesome!
What's up, wrestling fans? You want something awesome? Check out Wrestling Night in Canada here on the Shining Wizards Network. We're three Canadian metalheads uniting for the love of pro wrestling. Every episode, we go over all the latest news and special events with the odd unique interview as well. So grab a cold one and check out Wrestling Night in Canada, eh?
Your recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting from the current to the way back. Join the impact player Phil Rea and the Portuguese man of war Choppy for the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast, live every week on rantemradio.com. Get all our episodes over at iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Audio Boom, Google Play, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, and TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com.
For over 8 years and 450 episodes, the Shining Wizards has brought the wrestling fans the greatest guests, the most insightful discussions, and lots of laughs in talking about the world of professional wrestling. The show airs live every Monday night at 7 p.m. East on RantEMRadio.com and Rant Entertainment Media on the TuneIn app, and of course is available on all podcast platforms. To check us out, go over to ShiningWizards.com and get ready to join us for some wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
And we're back.
Yay.
Time for our top 10 list this week. Western movies. Some of my favorite kinds.
He wouldn't let me do the first one I wanted to do. Maybe someday. Well,
last show. That way you can do that top 10 and play Screwdriver.
So. Hey, you know why? You know Crush Groove will be in the top 5, right?
Well, yeah.
All right.
So for Westerns... Moving along quickly, what is your number 10?
The Tall T. Richard Boone, Randolph Scott.
Yep, that's a good one. Didn't make my list, though. Yeah.
Randolph Scott! Sorry. Blazing Saddles.
Yep.
Yeah, I know.
My number 10, the remake wasn't bad, but I do like the original better, 310 to Yuma.
Oh, yeah, I like the original. That's not on here either. I've never seen the new one.
The new one's not bad. I don't hate it. Because normally when they do remakes, they're shit. So, especially of Westerns. Hollywood's forgot how to do Westerns and make good stuff anyway. So,
yeah.
Number 9.
My number 9, The Quick and the Dead.
That's a good flick. Didn't make mine, though. Raimi. Yeah. Yeah.
That's a good movie. I like that movie.
My number 9, the classic, The Searchers.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. A lot of lists, like Rotten Tomatoes, IMDb, has that at their number one of all time for Westerns. But I got it at number 9 for mine, so. All right, number 8.
My number 8, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
Old Butch and Sundance.
It's got Ted Cassidy in it, man.
That's true.
Fucking Lurch.
Very true. My number eight wouldn't be a thing of Westerns if I didn't have Kevin Costner. Dances with Wolves. It was either going to be that or Open Range.
I remember Dances with Wolves when I was a kid, and my mom loved that movie. Yep. And I think it was just because of Kevin Costner.
It could be.
And the romance involved with it. But I never really wanted to see it because I was like, oh my God, just a love story. I don't want to watch it. Now that I'm older, I need to sit down and actually watch it.
Right. All right. Number seven.
El Dorado.
Oh, yes. That's a great movie.
I know. That's one of those that comes on. I got to watch it.
Yep. My number seven, here comes Mongo, Blazing Saddles. We can just quote damn near the whole movie. So yeah,
didn't make the list, man.
Yeah,
I love it.
I had to throw it in there.
Sure,
but yeah, where's all the white women's? All right,
and
now
for my next impersonation, Jesse Owens.
Mel Brooks. All right, number six.
The Sons of Katie Elder.
Oh, we're doing a lot that we're not having a lot of crossover yet, but are still just great flicks. I know. So, yeah.
I went old school, I think.
Yeah. Most from mine up are just by all these movies. So, for my number six, I got The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance.
Oh, yeah. Damn, that's good.
Yeah. That's a great movie.
That's Jimmy Stewart.
Yeah.
He's good in everything.
Yeah, he really was. Yeah. I never saw him in a bad thing. So.
No. He was good in everything he was in.
Yeah. You can't say that about a lot of actors.
That ain't no shit.
Looking at you, Robert De Niro. All right. Number five.
Rooster Cogburn.
Oh,
I wish they redid
True Grit. I could have just done all top 10 John Wayne, to be honest with you. But...
Oh, yeah. They redid True Grit. I wish they would remake Rooster Cogburn, too.
Yeah. My number five, it's time to go Eastwood. Good, Bad, Ugly.
Higher on the list.
Yeah. Sergio Leone. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Hot damn. All right, number four.
Tombstone.
Oh, higher on the list.
Now we're getting
crossover. Yeah.
If that movie is on.
It's being watched.
If it's on TV, if I flip it through the channels, I watch it.
Yep. My number four, the American remake of an Asian classic, The Magnificent Seven.
Which one?
I'm going original.
Okay. Yul Brynner?
Yes. Yeah. Based off Kurosawa's... Seven Samurai.
Yeah, that's the best one.
Yeah, that is best. All right, number three.
The Outlaw Josie Wales.
Mm-hmm. And we're back to Eastwood. It's either Eastwood or Wayne. That's pretty much Westerns.
Yeah.
My number three, I'll stick with Eastwood. Give me Unforgiven.
Yeah, that's good.
Him, Hackman. Yeah, that's a great movie. All right, number two.
High Plains Drifter.
Mm.
It's got horror.
Yep.
It's got supernatural. It's got Western. Fuck yeah.
It shows you can mix genres and be a really good movie. So.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we have to me at number two.
Yes.
The original, even though the remake wasn't bad, True Grit.
Yeah, the original.
Yep. Yeah. Hot damn, John Wayne. John Ford?
Yeah,
director?
I think it was John Ford, yeah.
Yeah. A lot of the John Wayne westerns was John Ford directed. So. All right, number one.
The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. The greatest film ever made.
Well, people can argue. Everybody has a great... Everybody has a great greatest of all time, but...
No, it's a good movie.
Good, Bad, and Ugly is so good. And I believe that is that the second in the trilogy?
That's the third.
Is the third. Okay.
I believe it's the third, because it's A Fistful of Dollars, A Few Dollars More, and then Good, Bad, and the Ugly.
Good, Bad, yeah.
I believe.
Yeah. That sounds right. All right. My number one, I'm your Huckleberry, Tombstone.
Fucking Tombstone.
might be. See, Sam Elliott did make the list.
Oh shit, he did. I forgot.
Yeah. He played Virgil.
Yeah, he did.
It might be my favorite ensemble cast of all time.
And not to say that Wyatt Earp wasn't a bad movie.
Right.
I liked Tombstone better.
It came out at the wrong time.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a Wyatt Earp's a good flick, but man, you're putting it against Tombstone, and it just you can't really. But yeah, Tombstone is like you said. It comes on TV. It's like, oh, watching Tombstone. Fuck it. Yeah. Where are my manners? Yeah. All right, listener picks here. Snowy came in with Legend of Lone Ranger, Quick and the Dead, and Jonah Hex. He says those are the only Westerns I'll watch. Aaron came in with The Ballad of Buster Scruggs, Back to the Future 3, and A Million Ways to Die in the West.
Oh, I forgot about that one. Damn it, that's a good movie.
Brad, 310 to Yuma, Tombstone, Million Ways to Die in the West. Yeah. Tony, of course, came in Blazing Saddles. So.
Of course.
Elizabeth, Brokeback Mountain, and Three Amigos.
Oh, I forgot about Three Amigos.
That's great. Chris came in with Tales from the Crypt, Demon Knight, From Dusk Till Dawn, Tombstone, Fistful of Dollars, the whole trilogy, Few Dollars, Good, Bad. He put in Mandalorian, which, yes, all Star Wars is basically a space western.
The Mandalorian it's like the old serial, like Have Gun, Will Travel.
Yes. High Plains Drifter, Hondo. Fuck yes, Hondo. Pale Rider, Young Guns. We forgot Young Guns.
Damn it.
He has The Crow in here. He thinks he was inspired by High Plains Drifter. Which, yeah, I can kind of see that. Once Upon a Time in Mexico, The Searchers, Outlaw Josie Wales, Kung Fu Hustle.
I'll allow it.
You making fun of me, cowboy? Yeah. Wild Bunch, Blazing Saddles, Magnificent Seven, Liberty Valance. He said he still hasn't seen Terror in Tiny Town, but just from the description, it makes his list. Which is, we need to do that movie, by the way. And
are we gonna do that movie?
I think we might have to do that movie.
Fuck.
And his honorable mention is Boss Nger. Roboto finishes us off here moving quickly with True Grit, El Dorado, Sons of Katie Elder, and Blazing Saddles. So thank you to everybody for your picks. All of those were really good, and we really need to watch Terror in Tiny Town. So, all right, let's go to listener questions here. Roboto starts us off. Happy birthday yesterday, Roboto, by the way.
Happy birthday.
When a piece of entertainment gets released at the end of the year or decade, but it doesn't become a hit until the next one, does it count for the year it came out or when it became popular? I'm going to say year it came out.
Yeah, that's how they measure those metrics. So
yeah, I'm going to say year it came out is how it goes. So, oh, damn it, Chris. All right. Next thing comes in from Chris. Next one's coming from Chris. My neighbor, Miss LaQuisha Juanita Jackson, was telling me about the rich and storied history of black culture, in particular dance culture. Deep and fascinating. For example, did you know that the fitness trend Zumba was developed from old African tribal fertility dances? I did not know that. Capoeira is a Brazilian martial arts style that black slaves adapted to resemble dancing to hide their fight training from their masters. I did know that one. Breakdancing, meanwhile, was developed by the inner city kids trying to steal hubcaps from moving cars. God damn it. I need to pre-read these. Do you think waltzes, ballet, and tap dancing are kind of culturally empty by comparison? No.
It's funny.
Yeah. His next one here. So this just occurred to me out of nowhere, and now I can't stop thinking about it. Glenn Larson produced a lot of TV. Quincy, Battlestar, Fall Guy, Magnum P.I., Knight Rider. Oh, good Lord, this is his rant about Cylons. Okay. I'm not reading all this, Chris. Damn it, because you wrote a book and a half. But I'll get to the thing. Okay, Kit has the red going back and forth, right?
Yeah.
Cylons, the original Battlestar and the remake, have the red going back and forth. Was it a is it a tongue in cheek reference from the guy who produced both shows?
Yes,
I think so. But he goes on because he has now a conspiracy theory about this. Could Kit have been the original Cylon? Consider the Kit's processor, its brain, as a learning computer, true AI. Then he goes on. After being spending years assisting an egotistical, grandstanding jackass to explore the criminal element and attempt to combat arms dealers, kidnappers, etc., constantly exposed to the worst that humanity has to offer, might a learning AI develop over the course of its service? Could Kit have embedded itself into the source code of the DARPA network, remain hidden? Basically, this goes all the way down. It goes into the original Battlestar, the new Battlestar. Basically, the question is, was Kit the original Cylon? This is a wicked fan theory.
Now, didn't the new Battlestar at the end, the Cylons became humans?
Well, and it goes into the end, essentially. At the end of the Battlestar remake, the humans and Cylons come to Earth, our Earth, to a new world. The whole deal was this Kit's plan to remake human civilization the way he saw fit. Wow, that's a thing.
That's deep, man.
That is, and I. It makes
That's too
sense.
Deep for the show.
It makes sense, is what's scary to me. Kind of like how the Disney show Recess, they were all in limbo. Yeah.
Yeah, they all died.
Yeah, or the Rugrats fan theory. Yeah,
That's that makes me uncomfortable. I don't like the Rugrats fan theory.
No, that one's...
Because I can see that happening.
I can too. I don't like that one at all. It's way too real. But Chris, your Cylon Kit as the original Cylon does make sense. So I'll allow it. All right. His next question here. Do you think that Caitlyn Jenner's fallopian tubes will be the first thing that Lindsey Graham gets to the bottom of? For those that you don't know, good old Bruce Jenner is running for governor of California. And since he was a decathlete, he can run pretty good. He was on a Wheaties box, for fuck's sake.
Well, he doesn't have fallopian tubes. So
that's true.
That's a dude in a dress.
Yes.
I don't care. Yeah. I'm tired. I don't care anymore.
Those poor Kardashians. They killed Bruce.
They killed Bruce.
Now we have Caitlyn. That's yeah.
I honestly don't care anymore. If I'm
California, voted for Arnold, they're gonna vote for this one. So
if they if people are upset by me misgendering, I don't give a fuck. Fuck you. I'm tired.
I'm tired. So, all right. His next thing here. Back to my neighbor, Miss Laquisha Wakanda Jackson, was telling me she specs for a daughter. Wee Wee was Kang's. Wow. Mm-hmm. Is pregnant. I asked why she thinks that. She said she saw a used tampon in the bathroom wastebasket that had all the cotton picked out of it. That can't be accurate, can it? It's got to be an old wives' tale, right? I'm glad this is an audio podcast and not video, because the constant hand on my face palm forehead.
Why don't you read this shit beforehand?
It's funnier when I don't.
Okay. Yeah, hilarious.
All right, his last thing here. Last query. My policy has been to submit at least one, usually more, racist jokes to you guys in the form of a question for as long as Black Lives Murder are still rioting across the country. On that topic, do you think they'll ever stop? I'm getting a little worried about running out of material. you better find more material, because this shit ain't going nowhere. So
we still the bad guys.
Yeah, we still bad. Yeah. All right. Last question this week comes from Handsome Dan, and it's a good legitimate question. Thank God we're ending with one. Iron Man was released 13 years ago. My question is: to what extent do you guys think that kids in the past 13 years have been influenced to read comic books regularly because of the Marvel movies? Or do you think a kid is either going to read comics or he isn't, and the movies have no real measurable impact?
I don't think they're reading comics.
Well, if you go by sales, they're not. My guess is that the movies have had a slight impact. A slight impact this way. Let's say a kid sees Iron Man. Like, oh, that's cool. I'd like to know a little bit more about him. then he might pick up a book or two and get into it that way. Or you have, like, when Civil War came out, people going, wait, this is based off of a storyline. I need to read the storyline before I see the movie. So then people were like, oh, I need copies of Civil War and, you know what I'm getting into type of thing. So I think that way it kind of probably had a little bump, but I don't, the way sales are looking, it's not a big influence.
And that's probably how they get away with writing the shit storylines that they write. They know that nobody's reading it.
Yeah. As long as they come up with one every now and then that could be used in a movie, that makes Disney or who owns Warner now, AT&T, happy. So, yeah, that's what it is. All right. Thank you, everybody, for your questions this week. Let's go to the COVID BS stories this week. D.C., Washington, D.C., is starting to feel a little like the mythical town of Beaumont in the classic movie Footloose, the town that had banned dancing. Stephanie Sadowski of SRS Events said her reaction to hearing the news, she was completely shell-shocked. The city is loosening some pandemic restrictions, but at her news conference Monday, Mayor Bowser, which just makes me think of Mario, sneaked in a bombshell. The latest order allows indoor weddings at 25% capacity, or 250 people, which was a bit of a relief, but standing and dancing at receptions are not allowed. I'm sure, unless you're Jewish, and then you're just going to do it anyway.
Yeah.
Can't dance at a wedding, kids, because, well, you have no rights anymore to do anything.
How's it feel?
Yeah. It's just bullshit.
Oh, no, it is. It's not.
I'm waiting for people to get tired, but I've been waiting since this whole thing started, so.
Yeah, well, the rest of the world apparently is tired.
Yes.
I think there's a Freedom March going on right now in England, so.
Yep. Mr. I'm not a doctor, but do everything I say. Bill Gates is getting a divorce from his equally evil wife, Melinda. So.
That's nice.
She could testify against him if things ever went to trial, since they're not going to be married. I do think it's funny that, you know, the Queen of England is now a widow and Gates is getting a divorce. And, you know, I mean, just saying. An Oregon high school track and field coach has brought up serious concerns about the state's mask mandate after one of his runners collapsed at the finish line last week. I'm concerned with the mask rule, the coach told the Bend Bulletin. This is what I'm worried about when I say at the beginning of the season, you get a kid running the 800 with a mask on. It's actually dangerous. They don't get the oxygen that they need. The rule needs to change. High school athletes in Oregon are required to wear masks during competition under Oregon rules to mitigate the spread of COVID-19. Oregon is the only state in the country that requires its runners to wear masks while competing, and high school coaches have seen more, quote, gasping, oxygen-depleted runners, end quote, this season than they have in the past.
No.
No shit, Sherlock. Yeah, the girl literally collapsed at the finish line. She's happy that her head crossed the finish line, so she actually finished the race, but she was completely depleted of oxygen. If you think that's okay, you're retarded. Period.
Yeah, that's really what it comes down to, isn't it?
Yeah. An Iowa family said Southwest Airlines denied them from boarding their connecting flight home from St. Louis because their 5-year-old son with autism could not wear his mask. After spending vacation in Florida, the family, along with their 2 children, were scheduled to fly back to Iowa on Sunday. At their layover in St. Louis, their son with autism, who is also nonverbal and has sensory processing disorder, had difficulty wearing his mask. Despite the 5-year-old's disability, the airline crew refused to let the family board their connecting flight in St. Louis back to Iowa. A doctor who was on the flight to Des Moines said passengers began lobbying to get the boy on board after the crew refused. They weren't going to let the kid on. They weren't going to let the kid on the plane if he didn't put his mask on. He had kind of a bandana around his neck, and he just wasn't having it and throwing a fit. Just to watch this play out was absolutely horrible, the doctor told the news. As the situation was playing out, the family claimed the 5-year-old had a seizure, but his medications were on the plane bound for Des Moines. The family says that they had to drive back to Iowa from St. Louis via a rental car. The family's hour-long plane ride turned into a six-hour drive. The family now has an attorney. The attorney says the Southwest violated the Americans with Disabilities Act. The TSA's policy states that those with disabilities who cannot wear a mask due to their disability are exempt from wearing one. There's clear guidance from the Department of Transportation as to what the airline should do. None of that happened here, the attorney said. Southwest replied in a statement saying federal law requires each person 2 years of age or older to wear a mask at all times throughout the travel journey, adding that although there are exceptions for certain disabilities, this child was not exempt from the mandate, which, bullshit to Southwest, it's not a law.
Yeah, mask mandates aren't law.
The ADA is law. Mandate is not law. It's just your governor telling you what to do, but it is not passed legislature and signed into law.
Right.
So I hope Southwest goes fucking bankrupt over this. They won't, because the fucking government will bail them out. But, yeah. Sue him for $100 million fucking dollars.
And oh, yeah, get absolutely. Penny.
Yeah, absolutely. If I was that father, I'd be in jail. Period. So, yeah.
Yeah.
No, damn well the kid can't work. All right, moving on. Yeah, let's go to Did You See the Stories This Week? A woman in a stolen truck led police on a chase in Northwest Arkansas that ended when she got out of the truck naked and was tackled by a police officer.
That's what you usually do to naked chicks.
Yeah, a caller told the Lamar Police Department that a white pickup truck carrying several loaded guns, and pulling a loaded trailer was stolen on March 25th. According to police report, less than 10 minutes later, Arkansas State Troopers found the truck. They had to deploy stop sticks to get her out, or to get the truck stopped. She got out. She was butt-ass naked. Ran at the cops. Cop tackled her. She now faces charges of aggravated assault, theft of a motor vehicle, criminal trespass, reckless driving, disorderly conduct, and fleeing. Set to appear in court May 13th.
Mm-hmm.
The South Carolina House voted on Wednesday to add firing squad to the state's execution methods amid a lack of lethal injection drugs. A measure meant to jumpstart executions in a state that once had one of the busiest death chambers in the nation. The bill, approved by a 66-43 vote, will require condemned inmates to choose either being shot or electrocuted if lethal injection drugs are not available. The state is only one of nine left that still uses the electric chair and will become only the fourth to allow a firing squad.
How the fuck do you get to choose?
That's my question. You know who you let choose? The victim's family.
Yeah.
And let them come up with whatever they want. Invest in fire ants.
Yeah, no shit.
And honey.
Yeah, you know. That ain't no shit. Why do you get to choose? Well, you're going to die, but you get to choose how.
No, nope, fuck you. Family gets to.
No, the
victim's family gets to. Yeah.
22 is still relatively cheap.
That's true. Relatively. Yeah, compared to arm and a leg. The only thing more expensive than ammo is fucking lumber.
Yeah,
Jesus Christ. Hey, have you guys heard a lot about this Arizona audit that's going on? About the voting?
What Arizona audit?
Yeah, exactly. Shenanigans abound. Apparently there was election fraud. Dun, dun, dun.
No.
Yeah, I know. Shocking, huh? The Maricopa County Board of Supervisors is obviously trying to hide something huge. They have now decided not to provide routers to the audit team attempting to audit the county's 2.1 million votes and the machines used in the 2020 election. This has been multiple times since the election where Maricopa County Board of Supervisors decided to not comply with reasonable requests related to the 2020 election and are now again trying to hide something. Their reason for not handing the info and the routers over? Board of Supervisors says they do not have the admin password. Maricopa County Election Board claimed this week they do not have admin access to their own voting machines. If this is the case, indeed, the county did not own the election process. They ceded it to the external vendor, Dominion. The fact the county does not have system administrators who have access to the voting machines is a huge concern. By allowing Dominion to have the administration access only, the county basically turned over its voting system to the Dominion voting system machine people. There is no IT control here because that's what's been ceded over to Dominion. In an interview, the Arizona audit director, Ken Bennett, said that now Dominion is refusing to comply with the state's Senate's subpoena and is hiding the second password for their machines. Dominion was in charge of Maricopa County's election, and now they are refusing to cooperate with a subpoena.
Well, they're really trying to push that next civil war, aren't they?
Yep. But yet they will sue the fucking MyPillow guy for $1 billion. But while they're too busy doing that shit, they can't do what a subpoena tells them to do legally. Yeah. That's some shady shit. So. Oh, hey, Vince, the job numbers came out yesterday.
Has Biden saved us yet?
The U.S. added just 266,000 jobs in April. March payrolls revised lower. Even CNBC, when the numbers came out, had to double-check the numbers because it is the worst jobs report in 23 years. You might think it's a Biden quote. It's hard to read. You might think we should be disappointed, Biden said of the numbers, but claimed that the American Rescue Plan was designed to help us over the course of a year, not 60 days. He said all of this while laughing. Worst jobs report in over two decades, and he's up there chuckling. So hey, they must have gave him a double shot that morning.
Hey, they're the ones who wanted to shut the country down.
Yep.
They're the ones who killed the economy that Trump had built, so...
Yep.
Whatever.
The defense attorney for former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin has now requested a new trial, saying the court abused its discretion and jury misconduct, prosecutorial misconduct and jury misconduct, according to new court documents. The lawyer cited many reasons for his request for a new trial, saying the judge abused his discretion and violated Chauvin's civil rights to due process and a fair trial when he denied the request to move the trial to another county due to pre-trial publicity. He said the judge also denied an earlier request for a new trial based on publicity during the trial, which Nelson threatened the fairness of the trial. Lawyer said the publicly included intimidation of the defense expert witness, which he said would have a far-reaching, chilling effect on the ability of the defendants to get expert witnesses in high-profile cases, including the upcoming other three officers' cases. The publicity here was so pervasive and so prejudicial before and during the trial that it amounted to structural defect in the proceedings. He also takes note with the judge's refusal to sequester the jury or tell them to avoid all media. With this, and with his refusal to allow a man who was with Floyd at the time of his arrest to testify. He didn't let a guy testify. On the jury misconduct thing, this has to do with juror Brandon Mitchell, who told when he was picked for the jury, said that he had, you know, no inclination one way or another about the trial, right? Yeah, except you were at the Martin Luther King march in August wearing a George Floyd t-shirt while George Floyd's family talked. He's also been photographed numerous other occasions wearing not only Black Lives Matter apparel, but apparel with the pictures of George Floyd himself.
Sure.
Political prisoner, is that what it is? A political prisoner?
That
sounds right.
You know what? This guy's going to get, they're going to have a retrial and they're going to acquit this guy.
Yep.
And everybody's going to go ape shit.
Pun intended.
I don't have any sympathy for you. You fuckers made him walk.
Yep.
Instead of just letting fucking the courts do its job,
the
you guys
right
are going
to
make this fucker walk.
Yep. Nashville police officer was ambushed Tuesday night. The ambusher has been identified as 22-year-old Salaman Muhammad. Muhammad allegedly called 911 to report that his mother had been shot inside the home. When the police arrived on scene, he opened fire on the cops. One officer was shot in the left arm, transported to the hospital. At some point thereafter, Muhammad allegedly came outside the home and killed himself with his gun.
Sure.
Muhammad's mother and three siblings were at the home at the time and were not injured. The public information officer for Nashville said this was a ruse or a setup to get the police to come to the house. The officer was released from the hospital later that night with a shot in the shoulder. So, Democratic Missouri Representative Cori Bush riled up her online critics on Thursday when she referred to women as birthing people during a congressional hearing. The squad member was heavily ridiculed after she publicly refrained from using the word women during a Democratic Oversight Committee hearing where she recounted her personal experience with difficult pregnancies to raise awareness of the rising maternal death rate among black expectant mothers. I didn't know we could use the word mother anymore.
We can't.
Everything's birthing people.
That's stupid.
Yeah, you're absolutely retarded.
That's a guy in a dress, okay?
Yeah, just...
People, don't care anymore.
You people voted her in.
Yeah, don't care anymore.
If you voted for her, you deserve this.
I don't care anymore.
Just, you're basically taking... Women can't do their own sports now. Gotta have guys in that. You can't no longer be a mother or a woman. You're a birthing person.
Yeah, but you know what? Women wanted this. Women wanted all of this.
Well, a lot of them did, and it doesn't make any sense to anybody that has two brain cells. Columbia University. Boy, tell me how... Vince Segregation's back on the menu.
Fuck yeah.
Columbia University will host 6 separate graduation ceremonies based on income level, race, gender, and etc.
Oh, you spent money there.
Dear everybody graduating, you should have went to trade school. You're welcome.
Yeah, you'll make more money.
Yep, and not have student loans. Where you're crying to Biden to, please forgive my loans.
It's racist that you don't.
Yeah, exactly. Twitter has announced a new feature called the Tip Jar Thursday that will enable tweeters to pay others for tweets and everything in between. According to Twitter, you'll know that you'll know an account is tip jar enabled when you see a tip jar icon next to the follow button on their profile page. To pay them, simply tap the icon and a list of payment services the user has enabled will appear. They can go from Venmo, Patreon, PayPal, Cash App, Bandcamp. Man, I can't wait for that comment.
You know, they keep saying Apophis is going to either, it's going to swing closer to us or farther away. They don't know. They have no idea.
Either give me a giant comet hitting the earth or every Muslim gets a vest. You know what I'm saying?
Just make it happen.
Let's go. Yeah. All right, Vince, last 2 stories of the week.
Yay.
You want spooky or do you want scary?
Spooky.
All right, spooky first. 7 people with suspected ties to the Love Has Won cult are facing charges after the body of the religious group leader was found at a home in Colorado. Amy Carlson, 45, who was known as Mother God by her followers, was found dead in a home in the small rural town of Moffitt on Wednesday, April 28th, according to arrest affidavits for the suspects, who are each charged with abuse of a corpse.
That's what I'm talking about.
The remains were found in a back bedroom, lying on a bed wrapped in what appeared to be a sleeping bag. What appeared to be glitter-type makeup was found around the woman's eyes. The body was then decorated with Christmas tree lights and appeared to be set up in some type of shrine, according to the warrant. Huh? Cults.
Hold on. Let me Google that shit.
Okay.
I got to see this. Who is this? What's her name?
Amy Carlson. Mother God. Yeah, this is... This cult almost sounds as bad as the one that always tells you to wear your mask. I mean, it's not as bad as those, because, you know, Branch Covidians, but...
Wow, yeah. That's weird.
It is weird. That's a little spooky that cults are decorating corpses and Christmas lights. And glitter on the eyes.
I see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 people involved.
Yeah.
And they all look really, really weird.
Yes. All right. Last story of the week, Vince. This is the scary one.
Yay.
And it comes from the Pope.
Say no more.
Do I need to?
Nope.
Well, I'll just finish this here. The Pope, if you want to call him that.
Bibbidi Bobbidi.
Sent a video message to participants in the Vax Live concert in LA Sunday night, urging concertgoers not to forget the most vulnerable in vaccine distribution. One, it's not a vaccine, it's gene therapy, but I digress. In his Spanish language message, the pontiff prayed that Creator God would infuse in our hearts generous spirit, here's the scary part, kids, to abandon our individualism and promote the common good.
He's the last pope, you know.
I have heard this from multiple people.
Was that St. Malachi's prophecy or whatever?
I don't know exactly.
Yeah.
Because if I drink wine, it's not usually in a church, but... Yeah, blasphemer. I've heard that this is... What'd you call me?
Blasphemer.
Allahu snack bar. Okay. Yeah. You're not an individual. You're a cog in the machine, is what he wants. Nope. Didn't they used to tell you that God made everybody special? Everybody individually special? And different and distinct.
I think God is
getting really pissed.
I think God is thinking, man, maybe I fucked up.
I think God's looking at his watch going, huh, be damn, it's about time. All right. Michael, fire up the ark. We're going to work. I told him I wouldn't flood it again, but they didn't say nothing about fire. All right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're no longer an individual. You should be a part of the machine for the common good. That's coming from a, quote, religious leader.
Speaking of cults.
Vince, you got any final thoughts for this week?
Keep your stick on the ice. The women don't find you handsome. At least they'll find you handy.
Can't take the high road. Take the high ground. Invest in lumber. Invest in ammo.
Brass and lead.
Brass, lead, and wood. Yeah. Man, this is a wacky-ass game show of a world.
That's one wacky-ass game show.
That's right. All right. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And unless we're thrown into a FEMA camp, we'll talk to everybody next week.
Bye.
Bye.